Kaol had no sounds in his head, no feeling in his body. It was a message, but not to Aelin Galathinius or Adian Ashriver. His fault. His. He and Aelin didn't speak as they neared the iron gates, the death of those men lingering over them. Every step was an effort. Every step was too fast. His fault. I'm sorry, Aelin murmured, nudging him closer to the gates, where black-uniformed guards were indeed monitoring every face that passed on the street. I'm so sorry.
The plan,
he said, his voice shaking.
We change it. Now.
Kaol. He told her what he needed to do. When he finished, she wiped away her tears as she gripped his hand and said, I'll make it count. The tears were gone by the time they broke from the crowd. Nothing between them and those familiar gates but open cobblestones. Home. This had once been his home. He did not recognize the guards standing watch at the gates he had once protected so proudly. The gates he had ridden through not even a year ago, with an assassin newly freed from Endovir, her chains tied to his saddle. Now she led him in chains through those gates, an assassin one last time. Her walk became a swagger, and she moved with fluid ease toward the guards who drew their swords, their black rings gobbling up the sunlight. Selena Sardothian halted a healthy distance away and lifted her chin. Tell His Majesty that his champion has returned, and she's brought him one hell of a prize. Chapter 69 Aelin's black cloak flowed behind her as she led the fallen captain of the guard through the shining halls of the palace. Hidden at her back was her father's sword, its pommel wrapped in black cloth. None of their 10-guard escort bothered to take her weapons. Why would they? When Selena Sardothian was weeks early for her expected return, and still loyal to King and Crown. The halls were so quiet. Even the Queen's court was sealed and silent. Rumor had it the Queen had been cloistered in the mountains since Adian's rescue, and had taken half her court with her. The rest had vanished as well, to escape either the rising summer heat or the horrors that had come to rule their kingdom. Kaol said nothing, though he put on a good show of looking furious, like a pursued man desperate to find a way back to freedom. No sign of the devastation that had been on his face upon finding his men hanging from the gates. He jerked against the chains, and she leaned in close. I don't think so, Captain. She purred. Kaol didn't deign a response. The guards glanced at her. Word marks written in Kaol's blood covered her beneath her clothes. Its human scent hopefully masking any hints of her heritage that the Volg might otherwise pick up. There were only two demons in this group. A small mercy. So they went up and up, into the glass castle itself. The halls seemed too bright to contain such evil. The few servants they passed averted their eyes and scurried along. Had everyone fled since Adian's rescue? It was an effort to not look too long at Kaol, as they neared the massive red and gold glass doors, already open to reveal the crimson marbled floor of the king's council room. Already open to reveal the king, seated on his glass throne, and Dorian standing beside him. Their faces. They were faces that tugged at him. Human filth, the demon hissed. The woman. He recognized that face as she yanked back her dark hood and knelt before the dais on which he stood. Majesty, she said. Her hair was shorter than he remembered. No, he did not remember. He did not know her. And the man in chains beside her, bloodied and filthy. Screaming, wind, and...
Enough,
the demon snapped. But their faces... He did not know those faces. He did not care. The King of Otterlin, the murderer of her family, the destroyer of her kingdom, lounged in his glass throne.
Isn't this an interesting turn of events, champion?
She smiled, hoping the cosmetics she'd dabbed around her eyes would mute the turquoise and gold of her irises, and that the drab shade of blonde she'd dyed her hair would disguise its near-identical hue with Adian's. "Do you want to hear an interesting story, Your Majesty?"
"Does it involve my enemies in Wendland being dead?"
"Oh, that, and much, much more."
"Why has word not arrived, then?"
The ring on his finger seemed to suck in the light, but she could spy no sign of the word keys. Couldn't feel them here, as she'd felt the presence of the one in the amulet. Kaol was pale, and kept glancing at the floor of the room. This was where everything had happened, where they'd murdered Sorsha, where Dorian had been enslaved, where once upon a time she'd signed her soul away to the king under a fake name, a coward's name. "Don't blame me for the piss-poor messengers," she said. "I sent word the day before I left." She pulled out two objects from her cloak and looked over her shoulder at the guards, jerking her chin at Kaol. "Watch him." She strode to the throne and extended her hand to the king. He reached forward, the reek of him. Volg, human, iron, blood. She dropped two rings into his palm. The clink of metal on metal was the only sound. "The seal rings of the king and crown prince of Wendlin. I'd have brought their heads, but immigration officials can get so pissy." The king plucked up one of the rings, his face stony. Lysandra's jeweler had yet again done a stunning job of recreating the royal crest of Wendlin, and then wearing down the rings until they looked ancient, like heirlooms.
"And where were you during Narok's attack on Wendlin?"
"Was I supposed to be anywhere but hunting my prey?" The king's black eyes bored into hers. "I killed them when I could," she went on, crossing her arms, careful of the hidden blades in the suit. "Apologies for not making it the grand statement you wanted. Next time, perhaps." Dorian hadn't moved a muscle, his features stone cold above the collar around his neck.
"And how did you wind up with my captain of the guard in chains?"
Kaol was only gazing at Dorian, and she didn't think his distraught, pleading face was an act. "He was waiting for me at the docks, like a good dog. When I saw that he was without his uniform, I got him to confess to everything. Every last little conspiratorial thing he's done." The king eyed the captain.
"Did he now?"
Aelin avoided the urge to check the grandfather clock ticking in the far corner of the room, or the position of the sun beyond the floor-to-ceiling window. Time. They needed to bide their time a bit longer. But so far, so good.
"I do wonder," the king mused, leaning back on his throne, "who has been conspiring more? The captain? Or you, champion? Or should I call you Aelin?"
Chapter 70. This place smelled like death, like hell, like the dark spaces between the stars. Centuries of training kept Rowan's steps light, kept him focused on the lethal weight he carried as he and the general crept through the dry, ancient passageway. The ascending stone path had been gouged by brutal claws, the space so dark that even Rowan's eyes were failing him. The general trailed close behind, making no sound save for the occasional pebbles skittering from beneath his boots. Aelin would be in the castle by now. The captain in tow was her ticket into the throne room. Only a few minutes more, if they'd calculated right, and then they could ignite their deadly burden and get the hell out. Minutes after, he'd be at her side, rife with magic that he'd used to choke the air clean out of the king's lungs. And then he'd enjoy watching as she burned him alive. Slowly. Though he knew his satisfaction would pale in comparison to what the general would feel. What every child of Terrasen would feel. They passed through a door of solid iron that had been peeled back, as if massive clawed hands had ripped it off its hinges. The walkway beyond was smooth stone. Adian sucked in a breath. At the same moment, the pounding struck Rowan's brain, right between his eyes. Wordstone. Aelin had warned him of the tower,
that the stone had given her a headache. But this... she had been in her human body then. It was unbearable, as if his very blood recoiled at the wrongness of the stone. Adian cursed, and Rowan echoed it. But there was a wide sliver in the stone wall ahead, an open air beyond it. Not daring to breathe too loudly, Rowan and Adian eased through the crack. A large round chamber greeted them, flanked by 8 open iron doors, the bottom of the clock tower, if their calculations were correct. The darkness of the chamber was nearly impenetrable, but Rowan didn't dare light the torch he'd brought with them. Adian sniffed, a wet sound. Wet, because... blood dribbled down Rowan's lip and chin, a nosebleed.
"Hurry,"
he whispered, setting down his vat at the opposite end of the chamber. "Just a few more minutes." Adian stationed his vat of hellfire across from Rowan's at the chamber entrance. Rowan knelt, his head pounding, worse and worse with each throb. He kept moving, shoving the pain down as he set the fuse wire and led it over to where Adian crouched. The dripping of their nosebleeds on the black stone floor was the only sound.
"Faster,"
Rowan ordered, and Adian snarled softly, no longer willing to be annoyed with warnings as a distraction. He didn't feel like telling the general he'd stopped doing it minutes ago. Rowan drew his sword, making for the doorway through which they'd entered. Adian backed toward him, unspooling the joined fuses as he went. They had to be far enough away before they could light it, or else they'd be turned to ash. He sent up a silent prayer to Mala that Aelin was biding her time, and that the king was too focused on the assassin and the captain to consider sending anyone below. Adian reached him, unrolling inch after inch of fuse, the line a white streak through the dark. Rowan's other nostril began bleeding.
"Gods, the smell of this place.
The death and reek and misery of it." He could hardly think. It was like having his head in a vice. They retreated into the tunnel, that fuse their only hope and salvation. Something dripped onto his shoulder, an ear bleed. He wiped it away with his free hand. But it was not blood on his cloak. Rowan and Adian went rigid, as a low growling filled the passage. Something on the ceiling moved, then 7 somethings. Adian dropped the spool and drew his sword. A piece of fabric, gray, small, worn, dropped from the maw of the creature clinging to the stone ceiling. His cloak. The missing corner of his cloak. Lorcan had lied. He hadn't killed the remaining wordhounds. He'd just given them Rowan's scent. Aelin Ashriver Galathinius faced the King of Otterlin.
"Selena, Lillian, Aelin," she drawled. "I don't particularly care what you call me."
None of the guards behind them stirred. She could feel Kaol's eyes on her, feel the relentless attention of the Volg Prince inside Dorian.
"Did you think,"
the king said, grinning like a wolf,
"that I could not peer inside my son's mind and ask what he knows? What he saw the day of your cousin's rescue?"
She hadn't known, and she certainly hadn't planned on revealing herself this way.
"I'm surprised it took you this long to notice who you'd let in by the front door. Honestly, I'm a little disappointed."
"So your people might say of you. What was it like, princess, to climb into bed with my son? Your mortal enemy?"
Dorian didn't so much as blink.
"Did you end it with him because of the guilt? Or because you'd gained a foothold in my castle and no longer needed him?"
"Is that fatherly concern I detect?"
A low laugh.
"Why doesn't the captain stop pretending that he's stuck in those manacles and come a bit closer?"
Kaol stiffened, but Aelin gave him a subtle nod. The king didn't bother glancing at his guards as he said,
"Get out."
As one, the guards left, sealing the door behind them. The heavy glass groaned shut, the floor shuddering. Kaol's shackles clattered to the ground, and he flexed his wrists.
Such traitorous filth. Dwelling in my own home. And to think I once had you in chains, once had you so close to execution, and had no idea what prize I instead sentenced to Endovier. The Queen of Terrasen. Slave. And my champion.
The king unfurled his fist to look at the two rings in his palm. He chucked them aside. They bounced on the red marble, pinging faintly.
Too bad you don't have your flames now, Aelin Galathinius.
Aelin tugged the cloth from the pommel of her father's blade and drew the sword of Orinth. Where are the word keys?
At least you're direct. But what shall you do to me, heir of Terrasen, if I do not tell you?
He gestured to Dorian, and the prince descended the steps of the dais, stopping at the bottom.
Time. She needed time.
The tower wasn't down yet.
Dorian?
Kael said softly. The prince didn't respond. The king chuckled.
No running today, captain.
Kael leveled his stare at the king and drew Damaris, Aelin's gift to him. The king tapped a finger on the arm of his throne.
What would the noble people of Terrasen say if they knew Aelin of the Wildfire had such a bloody history? If they knew that she had signed her services over to me? What hope would it give them to know that even their long-lost princess was corrupted?
You certainly like to hear yourself speak, don't you? The king's finger stilled on the throne.
I'll admit that I don't know how I didn't see it. You're the same spoiled child who strutted about her castle. And here I was thinking I'd helped you. I saw into your mind that day, Aelin Galathinius. You loved your home and your kingdom. But you had such a wish to be ordinary. Such a wish for freedom from your crown, even then. Have you changed your mind? I offered you freedom on a platter 10 years ago, and yet you wound up a slave anyway. Funny.
Time, time, time. Let him talk.
You had the element of surprise then, Aelin said. But now we know what power you wield.
Do you? Do you understand the cost of the keys? What you must become to use one?
She tightened her grip on the Sword of Orinth.
Would you like to go head-to-head with me, then, Aelin Galathinius, to see if the spells you learned, the books you stole from me, will hold out? Little tricks, princess, compared to the raw power of the keys.
Dorian,
Kael said again. The prince remained fixated on her, a hungry smile now on those sensuous lips.
Let me demonstrate, the king said.
Aelin braced herself, her gut clenching. He pointed at Dorian.
Kneel.
The prince dropped to his knees. She hid her wince at the impact of bone on marble. The king's brows knotted. A darkness began to build, cracking from the king like forks of lightning.
No,
Kael breathed, stepping forward. Aelin grabbed the captain by the arm before he could do something incredibly stupid. A tendril of night slammed into Dorian's back, and he arched, groaning.
I think there is more that you know, Aelin Galathinius,
the king said, that too familiar blackness growing.
Things that perhaps only the heir of Brannan Galathinius might have learned.
The third word key.
You wouldn't dare, Aelin said. The prince's neck was taut as he panted, as the darkness whipped him.
Once, twice,
lashings. She knew that pain.
He's your son, your heir.
You forget, princess,
the king said,
that I have two sons.
Dorian screamed as another whip of darkness slashed his back. Black lightning flitted across his exposed teeth. She lunged, and was thrown back by the very wards she'd drawn on her body. An invisible wall of that black pain lay around Dorian now, and his screams became unending. Like a beast snapped from its leash, Kael flung himself against it, roaring Dorian's name, the blood crumbling from the cuff of his jacket with each attempt.
Again, again, again.
Dorian was sobbing, darkness pouring out of his mouth, shackling his hands, branding his back, his neck. Then it vanished. The prince sagged to the floor, chest heaving. Kaol halted mid-strike, his breathing ragged, face drawn.
"Rise,"
the king said. Dorian got to his feet, his black collar gleaming as his chest heaved.
"Delicious,"
the thing inside the prince said. Bile burned Aelin's throat.
"Please,"
Kaol said hoarsely to the king, and her heart cracked at the word, at the agony and desperation.
"Free him. Name your price. I'll give you anything."
"Would you hand over your former lover, Captain? I see no use in losing a weapon if I don't gain one in return."
The king waved a hand toward her.
"You destroyed my general and three of my princes. I can think of a few other Vog who are aching to get their claws into you for that, who would very much enjoy the chance to slip into your body. It's only fair."
Aelin dared a glance toward the window. The sun climbed higher. "You came into my family's home and murdered them in their sleep," Aelin said. The grandfather clock began chiming 12. A heartbeat later, the miserable off-kilter clanging of the clock tower sounded. "It's only fair," she said to the king, as she backed a step toward the doors, "that I destroy you in return." She tugged the eye of Elena from under her suit. The blue stone glowed like a small star. Not just a ward against evil, but a key in its own right that could be used to unlock Erewhon's tomb. The king's eyes went wide, and he rose from his throne.
"You've just made the mistake of your life, girl."
He might have a point. The noontime bells were ringing, yet the clock tower still stood. Chapter 71 Rowan swung his sword, and the wardhound fell back, howling as his blade pierced through stone and into the tender flesh beneath. But not enough to keep it down, to kill it. Another wardhound leaped. Where they lunged, Rowan struck. Side by side, he and Adian had been pushed against a wall, conceding foot after foot of the passage, driven farther and farther from the spool of fuse Adian had been forced to drop. A clanging, miserable noise rang out. In the span between clangs, Rowan slashed for two different wordhounds, blows that would have disemboweled most creatures. The clock tower. Noon. The wordhounds were herding them back, dodging sure-kill blows, keeping out of their reach. To keep them from getting to the fuse. Rowan swore, and launched into an assault that engaged three of them at once, Adian flanking him. The wordhounds held their line. Noon, he had promised Aelin. As the sun began to reach its apex on the solstice, they'd bring the tower crashing down. The final clang of the clock tower sounded. Noon had come and gone. And his Fireheart, his queen, was in that castle above them, left with only her mortal training and wits to keep her alive. Perhaps not for much longer. The thought was so abhorrent, so outrageous, that Rowan roared his fury, louder than the shrieks of the beasts. The bellow cost his brother. One creature shot past Rowan's guard, leaping, and Adian barked out a curse and staggered back. Rowan smelled Adian's blood before he saw it. It must have been a dinner bell to the wordhounds, that demi-fey blood. Four of them leaped for the general as one, their maws revealing flesh-shredding stone teeth. The three others whirled for Rowan, and there was nothing he could do to get to that fuse. To save the queen, who held his heart in her scarred hands. A few steps ahead of him, Kaol watched Aelin back toward the glass doors, just as they'd planned after seeing his men dead. The king's attention was fixed on the eye of Elena around her neck. She removed it, holding it in a steady hand.
"Been looking for this, have you? Poor Erewhon, locked in his little tomb for so long."
It was an effort to hold his position as Aelin kept retreating.
"Where did you find that?"
the king seethed. Aelin reached Kaol, brushing against him, a comfort and a thank you and a goodbye as she continued past.
Turns out your ancestor didn't approve of your hobbies. We Galathinius women stick together, you know.
For the first time in his life, Kaol saw the king's face go slack. But then the man said,
And did that ancient fool tell you what will happen if you wield the other key you already possess?
She was so close to the doors.
Let the prince go,
or I'll destroy this right here and Erewhon can stay locked up. She slid the chain into her pocket.
Very well,
the king said. He looked at Dorian, who showed no sign of even remembering his own name, despite what the witch had written on the walls of their city.
Go, retrieve her.
Darkness surged from Dorian, leaking like blood in water, and Kaol's head gave a burst of pain as... Aelin ran, exploding through the glass doors. Faster than he should be, Dorian raced after her, ice coating the floor, the room. The cold of it knocked the breath from him. But Dorian didn't glance once in his direction before he was gone. The king took a step down the dais, his breath clouding in front of him. Kaol lifted his sword, holding his position between the open doors and the conqueror of their continent. The king took another step.
More heroic antics. Don't you ever get bored of them, Captain?
Kaol did not yield.
You murdered my men, and Sorsha.
And a good many more.
Another step. The king stared over Kaol's shoulder to the hallway where Aelin and Dorian had vanished.
It ends now,
Kaol said. The Vog princes had been lethal in Wendlin, but when inhabiting Dorian's body, with Dorian's magic. Aelin hurtled down the hallway, glass windows flanking her, marble beneath. Nothing but open sky around her. And behind, charging after her like a black storm, was Dorian.
Ice spread from him, hoarfrost splintering along the windows.
The moment that ice hit her, Aelin knew she would not run another step. She'd memorized every hallway and stairwell thanks to Kaol's maps. She pushed herself harder, praying that Kaol bought her time as she neared a narrow flight of stairs, and hurled herself up, taking the steps by twos and threes. Ice cracked along the glass right behind her, and cold bit at her heels.
Faster, faster.
Around and around, up and up she flew. It was past noon. If something had gone wrong with Rowan and Adian. She hit the top of the stairs, and ice made the landing so slick that she skidded, going sideways, going down. She caught herself with a hand against the floor, her skin ripping open on the ice. She slammed into a glass wall and rebounded. Then she was running again, as the ice closed in around her.
Higher. She had to get higher.
And Kaol, facing the king. She didn't let herself think about that. Spears of ice shot out from the walls, narrowly missing her sides. Her breath was a flame in her throat.
I told you,
a cold male voice said from behind, not at all winded. Ice spiderwebbed across the windows on either side.
I told you that you would regret sparing me. That I would destroy everything you love.
She reached a glass-covered bridge that stretched between two of the highest spires. The floor was utterly transparent, so clear that she could see every inch of the plunge to the ground far, far below. Hoarfrost coated the windows, groaning. Glass exploded, and a cry shattered from her throat as it sliced into her back. Aelin veered to the side for the now broken window, its too small iron frame, and the drop beyond. She flung herself through it.
Chapter 72. Bright open air, the wind roaring in her ears. Then,
Aelin landed on the open glass bridge a level below, her knees popping as she absorbed the impact and rolled. Her body shrieked in agony at the slices in her arms and back, where bits of glass stuck clean through her suit. but she was already sprinting for the tower door at the other end of the bridge. She looked in time to see Dorian hurtle right through the space she'd cleared, his eyes fixed on her. Aelin flung open the door as the boom of Dorian hitting the bridge sounded. She slammed the door behind her, but even that couldn't seal out the growing cold. Just a little farther. Aelin raced up the spiraling tower stairs, half sobbing through her gritted teeth. Rowan, Adian, Kaol. Kaol. The door shattered off its hinges at the base of the spire, and cold exploded through, stealing her breath. But Aelin had reached the top of the tower. Beyond it, another glass footbridge, thin and bare, stretched far across to one of the other spires. It was still shaded as the sun crept across the other side of the building, the uppermost turrets of the glass castle surrounding and smothering her, like a cage of darkness. Aelin had gotten out, and taken Dorian with her. Kaol had bought her that time, in one final attempt to save his friend and his king. When she had burst into his house this morning, sobbing and laughing, she'd explained what the wing leader had written, the payment the witch had given in exchange for saving her life. Dorian was still in there, still fighting. She had planned to take them both on at once, the king and the prince, and he had agreed to help her, to try to talk Dorian back into humanity, to try to convince the prince to fight. Until that moment he'd seen his men hanging from the gates. Now he had no interest in talking. If Aelin were to stand a chance, any chance, of freeing Dorian from that collar, she needed the king out of the picture, even if it cost her the vengeance for her family and kingdom. Kaol was glad to settle that score on her behalf, and on the behalf of many more. The king looked at Kaol's sword, then at his face, and laughed.
"You'll kill me, Captain. Such dramatics."
They'd gotten away. Aelin had gotten Dorian out, her bluff so flawless even Kaol had believed the eye in her hands was the real thing, with the way she'd angled it into the sun so the blue stone glowed. He had no idea where she'd put the real one, if she was even wearing it. All of it, all that they had done, and lost, and fought for, all of it for this moment. The king kept approaching, and Kaol held his sword before him, not yielding one step. For Rhes, for Brollo, for Sorsha, for Dorian, for Aelin and Adian and their family, for the thousands massacred in those labor camps, and for Nezrin, who he'd lied to, who would wait for a return that wouldn't come, for the time they wouldn't have together. He had no regrets, but that one. A wave of black slammed into him, and Kaol staggered back a step, the marks of protection tingling on his skin.
"You lost,"
Kaol panted. The blood was flaking away beneath his clothes, itching. Another wave of black, identical to the one that had struck Dorian, which Dorian hadn't been able to stand against. Kaol felt it that time. The throb of unending agony, the whisper of pain to come. The king approached. Kaol lifted his sword higher.
"Your wards are failing, boy."
Kaol smiled, tasting blood in his mouth.
"Good thing steel lasts longer."
The sun through the windows warmed Kaol's back, as if in an embrace, as if in comfort, as if to tell him it was time.
"I'll make it count," Aelin had promised him.
He had bought her time. A wave of black reared up behind the king, sucking the light out of the room. Kaol spread his arms wide as the darkness hit him, shattered him, obliterated him until there was nothing but light, burning blue light, warm and welcoming. Aelin and Dorian had gotten away. It was enough. When the pain came, he was not afraid. Chapter 73. It was going to kill her. He wanted it to. Her face. That face. He neared the woman, step by step across the narrow, shaded bridge, the turrets high above them gleaming with blinding light. Blood covered her arms, and she panted as she backed away from him, her hands out before her, a gold ring shining on her finger. He could smell her now, the immortal, mighty blood in her veins.
"Dorian," she said.
He did not know that name. And he was going to kill her. Chapter 74.
Time. She needed to buy more time, or steal it,
while the bridge still lay in shadow, while the sun slowly, slowly moved.
"Dorian,"
Aelin pleaded again.
"I'm going to rip you apart from the inside out," the demon said.
Ice spread across the bridge. The glass in her back shifted and ripped into her with each step she retreated toward the tower door. Still, the clock tower had not come down. But the king had not yet arrived.
"Your father is currently in his council room," she said,
fighting the pain splintering through her.
"He is in there with Kaol, with your friend, and your father has likely already killed him."
"Good."
"Kaol,"
Aelin said, her voice breaking. Her foot slid against a patch of ice, and the world tilted as she steadied her balance. The drop to the ground hundreds of feet below hit her in the gut. But she kept her eyes on the prince, even as agony rippled down her body again.
"Kaol, you sacrificed yourself. You let them put that collar on you so he could get out."
"I'm going to let him put a collar on you, and then we can play."
She hit the tower door, fumbling for the latch. But it was iced over. She clawed at the ice, glancing between the prince and the sun that had begun to peek around the corner of the tower. Dorian was 10 steps away. She whirled back around.
"Sorsha! Her name was Sorsha, and she loved you. You loved her, and they took her away from you."
5 steps. There was nothing human in that face, no flicker of memory in those sapphire eyes. Aelin began weeping, even as blood leaked down her nose from his nearness.
"I came back for you, just like I promised."
A dagger of ice appeared in his hand, its lethal tip glinting like a star in the sunlight.
"I don't care," Dorian said.
She shoved a hand between them as if she could push him away, grabbing one of his own hands tight.
His skin was so cold,
as he used the other to plunge the knife into her side. Rowan's blood sprayed from his mouth as the creature slammed into him, knocking him to the ground. 4 were dead, but 3 remained between him and the fuse. Adian bellowed in pain and fury, holding the line, keeping the other 3 at bay as Rowan drove his blade home. The creature flipped back, away, out of reach. The 3 beasts converged again, wild with the Fey blood now covering the passage.
His blood. Adian's.
The general's face was already pale from the loss of it. They couldn't stand this much longer. But he had to get that tower down. As though they were of one mind, one body, the 3 wordhounds lunged, driving him and Adian apart, one leaping for the general, 2 snapping for him. Rowan went down as stone jaws clamped onto his leg. Bones snapped, and black crushed in. He roared against the darkness that meant death. Rowan slammed his fighting knife into the creature's eye, driving up and deep, just as the second beast lunged for his outstretched arm. But something massive slammed into the creature, and it yelped as it was thrown against the wall. The dead one was hurled away a heartbeat later, and then... And then there was Lorcan, swords out and swinging, a battle cry on his lips as he tore into the remaining creatures. Rowan bellowed against the agony in his lower leg as he got to his feet, balancing his weight. Adian was already up, his face a bloody mess, but his eyes clear. One of the creatures lunged for Adian, and Rowan hurled his fighting knife, hurled it hard and true, right into its gaping mouth. The wordhound hit the ground not 6 inches from the general's feet. Lorkin was a whirlwind of steel, his fury unmatched. Rowan drew his other knife, readying to throw it. Just as Lorkin drove his sword clean down into the creature's skull. Silence. Utter silence in the bloodied tunnel. Adian scrambled, limping away and swaying, for the fuse 20 paces away. It was still attached to the spool.
Now!
Rowan barked. He didn't care if they didn't make it out, for all he knew. A phantom pain lanced through his ribs, brutally violent and nauseating. His knees buckled, not a pain from a wound of his, but another's.
No. No, 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 no!
He might have been screaming it, might have been roaring it, as he surged for the passage exit, as he felt that agony, that lick of cold. Things had gone very, very wrong. He made it another step before his leg gave out, and it was only that invisible bond, straining and fraying, that kept him conscious. A hard, blood-soaked body slammed into his, an arm wrapping around his waist, hauling him up.
Run, you stupid fool!
Lorkin hissed, hauling him from the fuse. Adian was crouched over it, his bloody hands steady as he grasped the flint and struck. Once, twice, then a spark, and a flame that went roaring off into the darkness. They ran like hell.
Faster,
Lorkin said, and Adian caught up to them, taking Rowan's other arm and adding his strength and speed. Down the passage, past the broken iron gates, into the sewers. There was not enough time and space between them and the tower. And Aelin. The bond stretched tighter, splintering.
No.
Aelin. They heard it before they felt it. The utter lack of sound, like the world had paused, followed by a cracking boom.
Move,
Lorkin said. A barked order that had Rowan blindly obeying just as he had for centuries. Then the wind, the dry burning wind that flayed his skin. Then a flash of blinding light, then heat. Such heat that Lorkin swore, shoving them into an alcove. The tunnels shook. The world shook. The ceilings came crashing down. When the dust and debris cleared, when Rowan's body was singing with pain and joy and power, the way into the castle was blocked, and behind them, stretching into the gloom of the sewers, were 100 Volg commanders and foot soldiers, armed and smiling. Reeking to Hellas's realm with Volg blood, Manon and Asterin were soaring down the continent, back to Morath, when a soft wind, a shudder in the world, a silence. Asterin barked a cry, her wyvern banking right as if the reins had been yanked. Abraxos loosed a yelp of his own, but Manon just peered down at the land, where birds were taking flight at the shimmer that seemed to rush past. At the magic that now rippled through the world, free. Darkness embraced her. Magic. Whatever had happened, however it had been freed, Manon didn't care. That mortal human weight vanished. Strength coursed through her, coating her bones like armor. Invincible, immortal, unstoppable. Manon tipped her head back to the sky, spread her arms wide, and roared. The keep was in chaos. Witches and humans were running around, shouting. Magic. Magic was free. Not possible. But she could feel it, even with the collar around her neck and that scar on her arm. The loosing of some great beast inside her. A beast who purred at the shadow fire. Aelin crawled away from the door stained with her blood, away from the Volg prince who laughed as she clutched at her side, and inched across the bridge, her blood a smear behind her. The sun was still creeping around that tower.
Dorian,
she said, her legs pushing against the glass, her blood dribbling out from between her freezing fingers, warming them.
Remember.
The Volg prince stalked her, smiling faintly as she collapsed onto her front in the center of the bridge.
The shadowed spires of the glass castle loomed around her. A tomb. Her tomb.
Dorian, remember,
she gasped out. He'd missed her heart. Barely.
He said to retrieve you.
But perhaps I'll have my fun first. Two knives appeared in his hands, curved and vicious. The sun began glinting just above the tower overhead.
Remember Kaol,
she begged.
Remember Sorsha. Remember me.
A boom shook the castle from somewhere on the other side of the building. And then a great wind, a soft wind, a lovely wind, as if the heart song of the world were carried on it. She closed her eyes for a moment and pressed her hand against her side, drawing in a breath.
We get to come back,
Aelin said, pushing her hand harder and harder into her wound until the blood stopped, until it was only her tears that flowed.
Dorian, we get to come back from this loss, from this darkness. We get to come back, and I came back for you.
She was weeping now, weeping as that wind faded away, and her wound knitted closed. The prince's daggers had gone slack in his hands, and on his finger, Athril's golden ring glowed.
Fight it,
she panted. The sun angled closer.
Fight it. We get to come back.
Brighter and brighter, the golden ring pulsed at his finger. The prince staggered back a step, his face twisting.
You human worm.
He had been too busy stabbing her to notice the ring she'd slipped onto his finger, when she'd grabbed his hand as if to shove him away.
Take it off, he growled,
trying to touch it, and hissing as though it burned.
Take it off!
Ice grew, spreading toward her, fast as the rays of sunlight that now shot between the towers, refracting across every glass parapet and bridge, filling the castle with Mala Firebringer's glorious light. The bridge. This bridge that she and Kaol had selected for this purpose, for this one moment at the apex of the solstice, was smack in the middle of it. The light hit her, and it filled her heart with the force of an exploding star. With a roar, the Volg Prince sent a wave of ice for her, spears and lances aimed at her chest. So Aelin flung her hands out toward the prince, toward her friend, and hurled her magic at him with everything she had. Chapter 75. There was fire, and light, and darkness, and ice. But the woman was there, halfway across the bridge, her hands out before her as she got to her feet. No blood leaked from where the ice had stabbed her. Only clean, polished skin peeked through the black material of her suit. Healed. With magic. All around him there was so much fire and light, tugging at him.
We get to come back,
she said, as if she knew what this darkness was, what horrors existed.
Fight it!
A light was burning at his finger, a light that cracked inside him. A light that cracked a sliver into the darkness.
Remember,
she said. Her flames tore at him, and the demon was screaming. But it did not hurt him. Her flames only kept the demon at bay.
Remember.
A sliver of light in the blackness. A cracked doorway.
Remember.
Over the demon screaming, he pushed, pushed, and looked out through its eyes. His eyes. And saw Selena Sardothian standing before him. Adian spat blood onto the debris. Rowan was barely remaining conscious as he leaned against the cave-in behind them, while Lorkin tried to cut a path through the onslaught of Volg fighters. More and more poured in from the tunnels, armed and bloodthirsty, alerted by the blast. Drained and unable to summon the full depths of their magic so soon, even Rowan and Lorkin wouldn't be able to keep the Volg occupied for long. Adian had two knives left. He knew they weren't getting out of these tunnels alive. The soldiers came in like an unending wave,
their hollow eyes lit with bloodlust. Even down here, Adian could hear the people screaming in the streets, either from the explosion or the magic returning to flood their land. That wind. He'd never smelled anything like it. Never would again. They'd taken out the tower. They'd done it. Now his queen would have her magic. Maybe now she'd stand a chance. Adian gutted the Vol commander nearest him, black blood splattering on his hands, and engaged the two that stepped in to replace him. Behind him, Rowan's breaths were rasping, too labored. The prince's magic, draining with his blood loss, had begun faltering moments ago, no longer able to choke the air out of the soldiers' lungs. Now it was no more than a cold wind shoving against them, keeping the bulk at bay. Adian hadn't recognized Lorkin's magic, as it had blasted from him in near-invisible dark winds. But where it struck, soldiers went down and did not rise. It, too, had now failed him. Adian could scarcely lift his sword arm. Just a little longer. Just a few more minutes of keeping these soldiers engaged so that his queen could remain distraction-free. With a grunt of pain, Lorkin was engulfed by half a dozen soldiers and shoved out of sight into the blackness. Adian kept swinging and swinging until there were no Vol before him, until he realized that the soldiers had pulled back 20 feet and regrouped. A solid line of Vol foot soldiers, their numbers stretching away into the gloom, stood watching him, holding their swords, waiting for the order to strike. Too many. Too many to escape.
"It's been an honor, Prince,"
Adian said to Rowan. Rowan's only reply was a rasping breath. The Vol commander stalked to the front of the line, his own sword out. Somewhere back in the sewer, soldiers began screaming. Lorkin, that selfish prick, must have cut a path through them after all, and run.
"Charge on my mark,"
the commander said, his black ring glinting as he lifted a hand. Adian stepped in front of Rowan, useless as it would be. They'd kill Rowan once he was dead anyway. But at least he'd go down fighting, defending his brother. At least he would have that. People were still screaming on the street above, shrieking with blind terror, the sounds of their panic growing closer, louder.
"Steady,"
the commander said to the swordsman. Adian took a breath. One of his last, he realized. Rowan straightened as best he could, stalwart against the death that now beckoned, and Adian could have sworn the prince whispered Aelin's name. More shouting from the soldiers in the back, some in the front turning to see what the panic was about behind them. Adian didn't care. Not with a row of swords before them, gleaming like the teeth of some mighty beast. The commander's hand came down, and was ripped clean off by a ghost leopard. For Evangeline, for her freedom, for her future. Where Lysandra lunged, slashing with claws and fangs, soldiers died. She'd made it halfway across the city before she got out of that carriage. She told Evangeline to take it all the way to the Felix country house, to be a good girl and stay safe. Lysandra had sprinted 2 blocks toward the castle, not caring if she had little to offer them in their fight. When the wind slammed into her, and a wild song sparkled in her blood. Then she shed her human skin, that mortal cage, and ran, tracking the scents of her friends. The soldiers in the sewer were screaming as she tore into them, a death for every day in hell, a death for the childhood taken from her and from Evangeline. She was fury, she was wrath, she was vengeance. Adian and Rowan were backed up against the cave-in, their faces bloody and gaping, as she leaped upon the back of a sentry and shredded his spine clean out of his skin. Oh, she liked this body. More soldiers rushed into the sewers, and Lysandra whirled toward them, giving herself wholly to the beast whose form she wore. She became death incarnate. When there were none left, when blood soaked her pale fur, blood that tasted vile, she paused at last.
"The palace,"
Rowan gasped from where he'd slumped against the stones,
Adian pressing a hand to a wound in the Fey warrior's leg. Rowan pointed to the open sewer behind them, littered with gore.
To the queen.
An order and a plea. Lysandra nodded her furry head, that disgusting blood leaking from her maw, black gore in her fangs, and bolted back the way she'd come. People screamed at the ghost leopard that shot down the street, sleek as an arrow, dodging whinnying horses and carriages. The glass castle loomed, half shrouded by the smoking ruins of the clock tower, and light, fire, exploded between its turrets.
Aelin.
Aelin was still alive, and fighting like hell. The iron gates of the castle appeared ahead, strung with reeking corpses. Fire and darkness slammed into each other atop the castle, and people fell silent as they pointed. Lysandra raced for the gates, and the crowd spied her at last, scrambling and bleeding to get out of her way. They cleared a path right to the open entrance. Revealing 30 Volg guards armed with crossbows lined up in front of it, ready to fire. They all trained their weapons on her. 30 guards with bolts, and beyond them, an open path to the castle, to Aelin. Lysandra leaped. The closest guard fired a clean, spiraling shot right for her chest. She knew, with that leopard's senses, that it would hit home. Yet Lysandra did not slow. She did not stop. For Evangeline, for her future, for her freedom, for the friends who had come for her. The bolt neared her heart, and was knocked from the air by an arrow. Lysandra landed on the guard's face and shredded it with her claws. There was only one sharpshooter with that sort of aim. Lysandra loosed a roar, and became a storm of death upon the guards nearest her, while arrows rained on the rest. When Lysandra dared look, it was in time to see Nezrin Falik draw another arrow atop the neighboring rooftop, flanked by her rebels, and fire it clean through the eye of the final guard between Lysandra and the castle.
"Go!"
Nezrin shouted over the panicking crowd. Flame and night warred in the highest spires, and the earth shuddered. Lysandra was already running up the sloped, curving path between the trees. Nothing but the grass and the trees and the wind. Nothing but this sleek, powerful body, her shapeshifter's heart burning, glowing, singing with each step, each curve she took, fluid and swift and free. Faster and faster, every movement of that leopard's body a joy, even as her queen battled for her kingdom and their world. High, high above. Chapter 76. Aelin panted, fighting against the throbbing in her head. Too soon. Too much power too soon. She hadn't had time to draw it up the safe way, spiraling slowly to its depths. Shifting into her fey form hadn't helped. It had only made the Volg smell worse. Dorian was on his knees, clawing at his hand, where the ring kept glowing, branding his flesh. He sent darkness snapping for her again and again, and each time she slammed it away with a wall of flame. But her blood was heating.
"Try, Dorian,"
she begged, her tongue like paper in her parched mouth.
"I will kill you, you fey bitch."
A low laugh sounded behind her. Aelin half-turned, not daring to put her back to either of them, even if it meant exposing herself to the open fall. The King of Otterland stood in the open doorway at the other end of the bridge.
"Kaol."
"Such a noble effort from the captain. To try to buy you time so you might save my son."
She'd tried. Tried, but...
"Punish her,"
the demon hissed from the other end of the bridge.
"Patience."
But the king stiffened as he took in the gold ring burning on Dorian's hand. That harsh, brutal face tightened.
"What have you done?"
Dorian thrashed, shuddering, and let out a scream that set her fey ears ringing. Aelin drew her father's sword.
"You killed Kaol,"
she said, the words hollow.
"The boy didn't even land a single blow."
He smirked at the sword of Orinth.
I doubt you will either.
Dorian went silent.
Aelin snarled.
You killed him!